It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the final week of the regular season.
Let's kick it off. Let's rock.
Here's Tomu.
Over the top, behind Dylan Dugling. Gone. See you later.
That's some great stuff right there.
Running room down the sideline, and he is gone.
Pressure coming down. He goes.
Another big shot. Put on. It's Kobe Brown. Who else?
That was a laser. Caught for a touchdown.
I know you both.
I love it.
Pressure up the gut. Got the block. And Johnson to the house.
He throws it. It's intercepted for the touchdown. Donald Payne.
Hey, man. I'm like that. Stop playing with me. Hey, give me.
Great stuff, huh? The USFL regular season wrapped up last weekend with great gameplay, awesome, innovative technology. Skip and Shannon now ready to break down their favorite play from Week 10, and it comes courtesy of the Michigan Panthers. Take a look. Paxton Lynch delivered this strike to Ishmael Hyman, who made the difficult catch while, yes, keeping those feet in bounds like a pro.
Skip, that was a big-time throw, but he could have made it a lot easier on himself. That was a tight throw into a very, very tight window. Great concentration by the receiver, but I just wish Paxton would have made it a lot easier on himself than just took that wide-open tight end at the top.
This is why I had reservations about Paxton ahead of John Elway picking him in the draft, because he did too much of that in college. And yet, you see the arm strength, because threw the heck out of it. And the accuracy had to be pinpoint, but it is as dangerous a throw as you can make, because if the DB just swivels a little bit and catches side of the football, he might be still running.
Oh, yeah.
It, right?
Yeah, he's on his way to the house.
Yeah.
And the thing is that John Elway, we actually saved Jerry from himself, because Jerry wanted it.
He did want him. He said he wanted him. And final point is, as you pointed out in this tape, his tight end is just like begging for the ball. And instead, he just raises up and guns it all the way across the field into that tight window and got away with it.
That's what happens, Skip, when you're a young quarterback and you make your mind up leaving the huddle.
Yep.
I'm going to this route here, and you don't read it. You make it more difficult on yourself than what it really should have been. But that was a tremendous throw. I mean, you can see the, like you said, Skip, you can see the arm strength to throw that ball. Look where he throws his ball from, Skip. From one hash to the far out.
It's an amazing play.
It was a laser. Okay, so next, the inaugural USFL playoffs kick off this weekend. They're on Fox as the Philadelphia Stars face off with the New Jersey Generals for a berth in the title game. From the Pro Football Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton, it's the USFL playoffs tomorrow, 3 Eastern, on Fox. Back to the NBA, with the draft behind us, the Kyrie Irving watch continues. The latest report from Woj, Kyrie has a wish list that includes the Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, Heat, Mavs, and 76ers, all destinations he'd like to land if he can't get a new deal worked out with the Nets. First things first, co-host Chris Broussard joins us now. Chris, put on your prediction hat. How do you think this ends for Kyrie in Brooklyn?
Well, Jen, as we all know, Kyrie puts the un in unpredictable. So who knows? We got to start with that. Who knows? You can't predict with Kyrie. But if I have to guess, I'm going to say I think he ends up in Brooklyn. I do think that a lot of this, and this is a feeling of a lot of people I've talked to in the league, that this is all about Kyrie trying to bluff, you know, the Nets to get the contract that he wants. I think at the end of the day, they will come to a compromise where Kyrie wants the 5-year max. The Nets don't want to give him many years fully guaranteed. So I think they compromise somewhere maybe 3 years, fully guaranteed, something like that. And he's back in Brooklyn, and obviously Kevin Durant would be there with him. And the reason I feel that way is because, one, Kyrie wants to be in Jersey or slash Brooklyn. Okay, he's living in the town he grew up in. He's very happy here. He worked his way here. The only reason, when you look at his wish list of teams, which is kind of comical, to be honest, New York and Philadelphia are only on there because they're close to Jersey. He would be able to essentially stay where he wants to be. The Knicks, Philadelphia, is very good chance they have no interest in him. The Knicks, Kyrie at best is their third choice. All right, they tried to get Jaden Ivey last night, the guard out of Purdue. Didn't get him. They're trying to get Jalen Brunson now. If that doesn't work, maybe they turn their attention to Kyrie. But they know he doesn't want to be there. They know they won't be very good if he goes there. So they're not like, I don't know that they give him any type of deal different than the Nets give him, if they even offer him something. Then you look at the other teams, Miami. I don't know that he lasts 3 weeks with their, you know, Miami Heat culture and all that they demand of you. All right. And then you got the Clippers. I don't know that they're interested in Kyrie. They weren't back in 2017. They take him if they had gotten Kevin Durant with them. But like a lot of teams, they didn't want just Kyrie by himself. And obviously, they already have a good squad with Kawhi and Paul George. And so I think that this wish list of Kyrie's, Dallas, don't know that there's much interest there. The team to watch is the Lakers. All right. And we know Kyrie can only go there for the $6 million mid-level exception. So obviously it sounds like there's no way he'll take a $30 million pay cut. But here's what the thinking is. After next season, the Lakers only have Anthony Davis and Taylor Horton Tucker under contract. Obviously, LeBron might re-up. But still, they would theoretically have the cap room, even though they don't have Kyrie's early bird rights to go above the cap, they would have the cap room theoretically to give him a big deal. And even if they don't, other teams out there, there'll be better teams with cap space next summer than there are this summer. Because this summer, none of the teams with cap space, Detroit, San Antonio, Indiana, Orlando, they don't want Kyrie. Kyrie doesn't want to go there. And so he doesn't have much leverage. And even if he's thinking Lakers, it's a risk. Even if you think a year from now I'll get my big payday because Kyrie's injury prone. And what if he gets injured? And he'll be 31 years old. And so he would be taking a huge financial risk to go to the Lakers. I'm told he'll consider it. But I think at the end of the day, guys, for all of those reasons, that they work something out with Brooklyn.
Go ahead, because I kind of touched a lot of what Chris said. Go ahead.
Chris, we opened this show going back and forth about how this story is wearing both of us out, but we can't take our eyes off it because it's the most fascinating, for all the wrong reasons, story in sports. I want to love Kyrie. I have loved him in the past, but he's killing a lot of my love because for all the respect I have for the many stances he takes against the grain, I love that about him. I respect that about him, even if I disagree with his stances. In the basketball context, he's killing my respect for him because this recent track record of wreckage, the end of the Cleveland, the Boston, now what's happened with KD in Brooklyn, it's hard to sell it to anybody. It's why his open market value is plunging right before your very eyes to the point he's being delusional about his value. It's now to the point where I think a lot of teams are saying he's just more troubled than he's worth. We can't count on him. We don't know if he's going to play or not play. Vaccination notwithstanding, where's his passion? Where are his priorities right now? Does he really care about basketball? He got his ring, and it seems like he's content with that. So what exactly does he care to play for? Rings, or just because he's an artist and he'll show up, you know, once every 3 weeks to display his art for you, right? So I'm with you, Chris. It just seems like this is heading for an impasse where Kyrie's pride is still so huge, his delusion is still so great about his overall value, I don't know that he's going to sit still for a reduced value contract of a year or 2 years with the Nets. I'm leaning toward he opts out. He takes the $6 million exception to play for the Lakers for 1 year with the promise, but it can only be a verbal because you by rule, unless you want to skirt the rules.
No, don't do that.
You can't.
Remember what David Stern did to the Timberwolves?
Yes.
For having that deal with Joe Smith?
Yes, I do.
It ruined them.
It was a long time ago, but it did. Okay? But you could promise him, hey, just come here and show us, you know, that you're all in, and it could be LeBron's last year with the Lakers. It could be. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's going to do, but it would be beautiful for Kyrie because I believe, Chris, that with all his heart, he would like to rectify how badly it ended with LeBron. I think that sticks in his craw. He wants to right the wrong, and he said many times how he was too immature. He didn't get it. He didn't know how great he had it with LeBron. I think that would really appeal to him, even for $6 million, thinking he's betting on himself on the come for the next couple, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know how far the Lakers want to go into the future with Kyrie, but if you dangle that carrot, I think he would go to the Lakers. I think that makes more sense to me than him staying with the Nets at this point.
Well, Chris, it looks to me that Kyrie wants to work a 12-hour week but wants to pay for a 40-hour week. And the team is like, hold on, bro. Do you realize, like, you played 35, you've averaged 35 games per year over the last 3 years.
Yep.
We play 82. You want us to give max you out. It's not what you're worth. It's what someone is willing to pay. They're willing to pay Nikola Jokic $250 million. They were willing to pay Giannis the Supermax, Steph Curry the Supermax.
Sure.
Kyrie, what you might think you're worth, if somebody's not willing to pay that, well, you're not worth that. And you're not paying yourself, and you've done yourself no favors by saying basketball is not the end-all be-all. That's not the most important thing. That's not what an owner that's going to shell out a quarter of a bill to you wants to hear.
Does not.
And so I think that's what's working against him. And like you said, Chris, I'm looking at this list. And plus, even if you do a sign and trade, what the hell do these teams have besides Paul George and Kawhi? They don't want to split them up. Anthony Davis and LeBron, they don't want to split them up. Bam and Jimmy Butler, they don't want to split them up. You're not getting Luka. You're not getting Joel Embiid. So what are the pieces that you can do a sign and trade that's going to appease Kevin Durant? Because at the end of the day, KD, this is what we're not going to be able to accommodate Kyrie. We don't feel comfortable giving him 2 extra years fully guaranteed, given his history. KD will understand that KD is a businessman at the end of the day. KD wants to be a billionaire. He knows how this thing works.
He does.
And so you come to him. But I think something that bears watching for is Bradley Beal up in D.C. Now, what if you can do a sign and trade? Now, that's not on Kyrie's wish list, but guess what? Santa Claus was busy. He ain't get your wish list in time, so he might bring you something you didn't ask for. If I'm Kevin Durant, I play with Bradley Beal.
Go ahead.
I would play with Bradley Beal if I were to lose Kyrie.
Yeah.
Look, I think the Nets would love that. I don't think Washington would do it, but I think the Nets would love it. I mean, if you're going to lose Bradley Beal, maybe you bring Kyrie in. But here's what Kyrie doesn't understand. There are very few teams, if any, that would give him the 5-year max, or they can only give 4 years if there's another team, 4-year max that he wants. The Lakers probably would because LeBron's there, but they can't. And here's the other thing that Kyrie that's working against Kyrie. This year, the Nets were 30-23 without Kyrie. They were 14-15 with him. And we saw what happened in the playoffs. They got swept. And over his 3 years there, they win 56% of the games that Kyrie doesn't play and 56% of the games that he does play. So for all his individual greatness, and we all know he's awesome, but it doesn't correlate to winning.
No.
It's only correlated to winning when he played with LeBron. That's it. Boston got better without him, even though he's better than Marcus Smart. Teams are looking at this. So he has absolutely no leverage unless he's willing to take $30 million less and go to the Lakers. That's it.
That's it.
That is it.
I ain't doing that. I want a long-term deal. I'm not turning the long. I'll compromise with you, Chris. Okay, I want five. I'll take three. I ain't coming all the way down to one. For I'll do 1 year for $50 million. I'm not doing 1 year for $6 million.
And look, if he does the 3 years, all they're asking is you play ball. You do your job. If he does his job for 3 years, he'll be in line for another huge deal. So this could work in his favor if he looks at it the correct way. But there's talk that he's so upset with the, I don't know how true it is, but there's rumblings he's so upset with the Nets that he might go to the Lakers out of spite.
Yeah.
But out of spite, do you turn down $30 million? Mm-mm. Do you leave your home where you've wanted to play at? Do you leave the franchise you grew up rooting for that you wanted to bring a championship? Do you leave your good friend Kevin Durant to do this? I mean, do you leave a championship situation? Obviously, the Lakers would be a championship contender as well. But that's a lot to do out of spite.
Yeah.
It would be an expensive thing to do out of spite, that's for sure. Chris, thanks for your time this morning. Have a great weekend. No mercy. The surprises just kept coming during last night's draft. The Thunder selecting Chet Holmgren second overall, even when surprise number one overall, Paolo Banchero, went first, and then Jabari Smith Jr. obviously still on the board. Sam Presti stuck with his guy and took Holmgren without hesitation. Shannon, there has been a lot of debate about Holmgren and his future. What do you think? Beast or bust?
Can we get somewhere in between? We do realize that there is a big difference between LeBron James, Shaq, Tim Duncan, Anthony Bennett, Greg Oden, Michael Olowokandi. Can we get somewhere in the middle? I mean, people might have thought that Andrew Wiggins was a bust, considering that he was the number one overall pick this year. It finally came to fruition in year eight. He was an all-star. He was a key piece on a championship-winning team.
Now, better than Anthony Bennett?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, of course. Okay, let's go. The greatest second pick in the draft, Kevin Durant, Jason Kidd, Gary Payton, Alonzo Mourning, LaMarcus Aldridge, Steve Francis, Mike Bibby. Okay, worse, Hasim Thabeet, Darko Milicic, Jay Williams, Michael Kidd-Gricus, or Mecca Okafor.
That's good. That's a good list.
Okay. So
good job. Your research did well for you.
So he's not this all the way down here. Can we get like in the middle?
I'm not sure Steve Francis belongs on the good side of that.
Well, Steve Francis had some
years.
Yeah, man. He was good for a minute, Skip. Mm-hmm. When he got to Houston.
For a minute.
Man, franchise was giving that work. And then I don't know what happened to him. But anyway. I want to put him somewhere in the middle. I'm not going to say he's going to be. Obviously, I'm not saying he's going to be Kevin Durant, but I don't believe he's going to be Hasim Thabeet either. Mm. Can he be a solid player?
Yep.
Can he be a starter for, say, like 8, 10 years? Maybe make an all-star team.
Will you go that far? Maybe an all-star team?
Skip, I don't see it. I don't see all-star. I see a starter. I see a good player. But I don't see all-star. Mm. I don't.
I hear you. I tried to see All-Star until the Memphis game followed by the Arkansas loss in the NCAA.
Right.
He did get in quick foul trouble. I hate the NCAAs for that reason because they're so nitpicky with their early foul calls, especially on big guys and stars. They have no respect for the stars.
No.
Again, if you're playing physical basketball against two physical teams in Memphis and Arkansas that are just attacking you physically, you try to fight back, and all of a sudden you're out of the game sitting over by the coach, right? Okay, so are you going to give him a pass on that? I can't give him a pass because he looked overwhelmed and overmatched in those two games against bigger, stronger athletes than he is at age, 19, mm-hmm. right? Okay, the only thing that rocked and shocked me last night, the statement of the night was made by Sam Presti,
right.
Who, by the way, has at least rivaled his mentor R.C. Buford's draft brilliance because it's pretty great what he's done
yeah.
taking KD and then Russ and then James Harden and Reggie Jackson and Steven Adams and Cameron Payne and even Josh Giddey.
Well, he might have passed. I mean, he might have passed R.C. Buford.
Yeah.
Well, R.C. Buford, when he made that trade, when he got Kawhi.
Hey, you get Kawhi?
You got Kawhi for George Hill. That's a pretty good deal.
And you got Bertans back also.
Right.
You got Kawhi and Bertans. Oh. Bertans is pretty good.
And you did get Tony Parker. You did draft Manu, even though you took Manu in the second round.
You took him at the bottom of the second round and Tony at the bottom of the first round.
But I ain't give you no credit pretty for Tim Duncan, Skip. Everybody would take R.C. Buford. You would have took Tim Duncan. I would have took Tim Duncan.
I got it. Although even when Tim, he stayed for 4 years.
Yes.
And I would watch him at Wake, and I'd say, God, the motor is so low. You know, he seemed like he's not really trying
But
that
you know
hard.
Back then, Skip, everybody stayed. Chris DeLayton stayed. Grant Hill stayed. All the guys stayed for 4 years. Jordan stayed 3 years.
Okay, but think about what Sam Presti did last night.
Yeah.
He sat right there, dug in. They weren't even smoke screening. They were just letting everybody know, we are telegraphing. We're taking him.
Yes.
We don't care what you say because we know Orlando's not going to take him. We will gladly take him because Sam is telling you he's the best player by far in the draft. Because Jabari Smith shockingly fell right into Sam's lap and he rushed the card up to the commissioner in about 5 seconds. Nope. We want Chet Holmgren. Period, end of story.
Yes.
He let Jabari slip right through his fingertips all the way down to Houston. And I'm pretty sure Houston said, thank you, Orlando, and much appreciated to you, Sam Presti, because they think they got the best player in the draft, I'm assuming.
It looks like, from what I was reading, Houston just knew they was going to get Banchero.
Well, I thought so.
It seemed like it was etched in stone that the second pick in the draft was going to be Chet Holmgren.
Yep.
And the Smith kid, Miss Smith Jr. was going to Orlando.
Got it.
Banchero, like, okay, and then all of a sudden, like, wow.
Okay, I am fully with you. I'll just do Banchero, but Jabari Smith is better than Banchero. I just believe it. I think Orlando made a big swing and miss here because Jabari Smith can flat out stroke it.
Yes.
It's a pretty shot. It's a beautiful shot.
Right.
It's a smooth shot. It's natural. It's KD-esque. I'm not saying he's KD, but it's esque.
Right.
And he is 6'10". And he wants to defend at the highest level, and he'll go take your point guard or he'll take your center, and he can jump out of the gym. And he's already got...
He got a nice body. He's 225.
It's not Banchero, but it's a man's body.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yes.
He'll be just fine. Okay, so I give you all that. But if Sam Presti sends a signal, screams a signal, no, you all screwed it up. I got this guy. Then I sit back and I reassess a little bit because I know the positives. The strengths are the strengths, but he doesn't have great strength.
Right.
But he can dribble. He can move. He can shoot it. Mm-hmm. And he can flat out pass it. He has a really nice sense of the game. And he's 7 foot tall. And he's a quick jumper. He's got the spring. And you know and I know, shot blocking requires a gift of anticipation that
timing.
Some just don't get it.
Yep.
Like you have to see it and feel it. It's almost like LeBron being a great passer. He's anticipating it's going to happen before it happens, and then he doesn't have to look, and he bounces it over there. Oh, you got a layup.
Right.
Well, he's seeing it before it happens. Just instinctively, he's saying, oh, he's going to try to go there and do that, but I'm going to beat him to the punch because I'll beat him to that spot.
Right.
And I could jump out of the gym for 7 feet tall, and he's 7'6". He's like freakishly long-armed, and he'll get leather. He'll touch leather before it touches glass, right?
Well, Sam Presti seemed to have lucked the guy that the Knicks took because he sent 3 first-round picks to take that guy also.
Okay.
So it tells you that he really liked this guy. They got enough of him. I mean, it's not like they emptied the coffers. I mean, they had 19 until 2027.
Okay.
So to give up 3, so now they only have 16 or 15. But
they're fine. I still got Fort Knox. And I told you earlier, not only to get Dang, but then they turn right around at 12 and they took one of my, he is my favorite, you know, sort of one that everybody's sleeping on.
Mm-hmm.
It is sleeper, is that Jalen Williams. Every time, you know why I saw him? Because I'm watching him.
Yeah.
I'm watching him play Santa Clara because Santa Clara was really good this year. And so I watched their conference tournament. I watch him.
Right.
And he dominated those games. But Jalen Williams can flat out play. He's got an NBA body.
And I think this is the kid, the first round pick.
Since Steve Nash.
Since Steve Nash in 96.
Okay. But I'm saying every year, Sam says, I got this. And I'm saying, yep, you got it. And you like Josh Giddey, right?
Oh, yeah, I definitely like him. He can stroke it, got great feel for the game.
Okay, so this gave me pause to reassess here. If Sam says he's going to be a star, not just a starter, but a star, I would have to go there. I would trust in Sam Preston.
So you believe Homer will be an all-star? One-time all-star, perennial all-star?
I'll just say he'll make an all-star team. But it may be 7 years from now. Really? Seriously?
Yeah.
Because he'd be 26, and maybe he'd fill out a little bit. Kevin never filled out.
No.
Kevin Durant.
No.
But he has natural strength. I don't care what you say. You have to have it.
Kevin Durant is just freaky.
Just freaky.
I mean, we might not ever see another guy like Kevin Durant again.
Agreed. No mercy.